Blog Talk Radio.
Worship is impossible without revelation. Glorify Jesus here.
Take those pages of your word. I'm just a person, nothing more. I'm yours. Take the diamond and have your way. I'm not washing this body. It's not about me. Nothing more. Thank you.
Tell somebody next to you, the glory of the Lord is upon you. Tell somebody else, the glory of the Lord, the beauty of the Lord is upon you. Are you ready to soar in worship? Make no mistake as we minister to Him. You can delight yourself in His fellowship with the Lord. But that's the one. What is the byproduct of His presence? Are you ready? Put your hands together for the Lord. Celebrate. Amen. Celebrate your pastor and your pastor's wife quickly. Pastor Benny and I was speaking with him on the phone yesterday and I said, I'm sure this Kairos moment, it wasn't in my plan or my diary to come to the U.S. now. So we have something called the Hallelujah Challenge, and after that I just rest and get fresh. But I felt in my heart to travel. And I believe that God has sent me here to just release something over this house. So the Lord said about me, when trumpet is blown, the heavens just open. So prepare for the next level of glory.
Everybody, Thank you. Praise the Lord. Father, we thank you. We praise you, O God, because your name is great and greatly to be praised. Oh, Father, if we had 1,000 times, we could not praise you enough today for all that you have done on yesterday in the church building, how you showed up by your Spirit and you blessed us on yesterday. We thank you, God. We know it's going to get better. We know it's going to become stronger. You know, many more people are going to come. We had people walking off the street and give offering on yesterday. They heard the word and came into the church building and give offering. And we thank the Lord because the Lord is the only one that can do what he has done and what he is doing. Hallelujah. Glory to God. So we bless the name of the Lord Jesus today that we are here in the mighty name of Jesus. And what we want to talk this morning, we're going to pray, and then we're going to talk about, the message today is a very different message the Lord gave me on yesterday when I came home from the church building. And we were so excited how the Lord moved on yesterday, because we never know how he's going to show up and how he's going to move in our presence, in our midst. Yesterday, he sure enough blessed us. We spoke about staying connected to the vine. Coming out of John chapter 15, we ministered from on yesterday. The Lord told us to go there. We had something else that we had planned, but the Lord said, no, go there. Because in the time that we're living now as Christians, as believers in Christ Jesus, we have to stay connected to each other. We cannot allow the enemy to come in and bring discord, because that's what the enemy is set up to do. He knows that his time is drawing near for him to be cast into the lake of fire and brimstone. So he is releasing everything that he can against the children of God. Hallelujah. Some people are submitting to it. Some people are giving into his moves, and they believe that they're saved and sanctified. But that's not what God says. God said we have to be together as one body, one church, having one spirit. That's what God says. But the devil said, no, I'm going to deceive you, and I am going to delay you. I'm going to distract you and have you can't fellowship with each other. I'm going to have you at each other's neck so that you will be able to teach and preach with power and authority. You might open your mouth, but it will not be in their power. We had power yesterday. We have power this morning. It's right here now. Father, we just thank you. We praise you. We glorify your name, God. We honor you, O God, for your presence, because in your presence there is fullness of joy, and at your right hand there are pleasures forevermore. God, we would not have it any other way. We thank you for forgiving us most of all, O God, and cleansing us from all unrighteousness. O God, for setting our feet on the rock of Jesus Christ, that we can never fall. Doesn't matter how the enemy come, he can never push us off the rock of Jesus. We are solid on him. And we thank you, Father. Bless those that are coming on now, and bless those that are listening by way of satellite radio, maybe in Africa, India, China, Japan, Afghanistan, Pakistan, Iraq, Belize, Brazil, the Caribbean, Canada, wherever they're listening, God, we ask you to allow this word to bless them this morning. And we're going to talk this morning about the evil that's within your heart. The evil that's within your heart. You know, the Bible says that out of the heart proceedeth what's in the heart proceedeth out the mouth. It comes out of the mouth. So we have to be careful to what we allow to stay in our heart. Somebody says in your mind, no, it's in your heart. You are carrying it wrong all the time, and then eventually you activate it, and you come against your brother, you come against your sister. You want to fight. Even in the service, you want to fight because you're carrying that animosity in your heart. And God said, you have the first thing you have to do is repent. You have to repent for yourself. Get your heart clean. Say yesterday, we are pointing our fingers at everybody else and not at ourselves. Yeah, we are pointing one finger at the people, but there's four fingers pointing back to us. And we have to take knowledge that there's four fingers that are pointing back at us. So what we must do is examine yourself. Even in the Holy Communion, he always said to you that you have to examine yourself first before you partake, because God knows there's some stuff in our hearts that we're holding on to that we don't let go. But still, we want to come to the holy table and feast on the body and blood of Jesus Christ, because we say we're holy. We're holy in word, but not in action. That's what the Lord gave us that message yesterday. We have to stay connected to Jesus Christ. If we stay connected to Jesus Christ, guess what would happen? We'll be connected to each other. But you can't like you can't love your sister. You can't love your brother. Why? Because you're not connected to Jesus. All you are looking for is to find some mistakes, some errors that your brother or sister is connecting, so you can talk about it. That's not the Christian way. We look for mistakes in each other. Instead of helping each other, we act like crabs in a bucket. Now let's go into the word. I hear this thing yesterday. The Lord gave this to me yesterday, and I got it, and I said, Lord, I got to look this up. He dropped this in my spirit. I said, God, I got to go. Here, I'm going to come with the Logos Bible and the Amplified Bible today. But hear what he says. Might go to the NLT too, but hear what he says. Let's hit the King James Version first, and let's see what he says. In Genesis chapter 4, go back to the Old Testament. I know the people say, we're a New Testament church, but you can't become a New Testament church before you become the Old Testament. You got to become the Old Testament before you become the New Testament. You got to understand the foundation of where you came from. See, what happens is as soon as we get some money, we forget where we come from. Yeah, we forget just the same way in the church. As soon as they get in the church, they don't want to go back to the Old Testament. That's why you see so many pastors and so many leaders are acting just like the world. They're getting tattoos all over their body. They're getting piercings and all this stuff over their body. Then the Bible, God told us don't mark ourselves. Don't pierce ourselves. No piercings. Women wearing ankle braces. Don't understand what that mean. That's telling people that you're available. You're available. They can come and get you. You're a prostitute. Hallelujah. Don't understand that. So God said, don't have that stuff around your ankle. But the women have it around their ankle. Some men have it too, because they're telling the other men that they're ready. They're available. They're available. But that's the truth. And they don't want you to teach them like this stuff. They want you to say, oh, yeah, what you do? You're all right. You're all right, bro. You're all right, sis. But they don't want to hear the truth. You got to tell the truth. That woman told me yesterday. He says, I'm so happy that you're the pastor in this church. He told me yesterday. He said, I'll be back next Sunday. I said, my mama wants to come. She wants to come. But my mama's in a wheelchair, because we told her, he said, I told my mama about you. I said, well, I've been telling him I'm about God, not about me. Tell him about God, because if God don't show up, I can't preach, really. I really can't. And really, I'm really focused on teaching the word instead of preaching the word. Sometimes I preach. But here in this book of Genesis, chapter 4, let's start at verse 1. And here in the King James Version, he says, and Adam knew Eve, his wife, and she conceived and bare Cain and said, I have gotten a man from the Lord. Now, when he's saying that Adam knew his wife, which means he had intercourse, sexual intercourse with his wife. That's what the Bible is saying. But you have to look and see what it's saying. Because then it comes back and says that she conceived and bare Cain and said, I have gotten a man from the Lord. And she again bare his brother Abel. And Abel was a keeper of the sheep. But Cain was a tiller of the ground. And in process of time, I preach on that message right there. And in the process of time, I preached a message on that before. In the process of time, it came to pass that Cain brought of the fruit of the ground an offering unto the Lord. And Abel, he also brought of the first of his flock and of the fat thereof. And the Lord had respect unto Abel and to his offering, but unto Cain and to his offering, he had not respect. And Cain was very wroth, very angry, and his countenance fell. You can imagine in the presence of the Lord, that some people will even come in the presence of the Lord and say they are praying, but their countenance is full of malice. They're full of anger. Their spirit is full of malice. And their countenance is showing that what's in their heart, because what's in the heart will come out in your countenance. I tell people all the time, you know, it's hard for me. It's one of the things that my mama gave to me that I really got upset that she gave me that. Because if I'm upset with you, I can't hide it from you. When you look at my face, you go, see, don't care if I can try to smile, I can try to sing, I can, whatever I can do, but I can't hide what's in my heart. You'll know. If I love you, you're going to know. The moment you see me, you'll know. It's no game. It's in my heart. You're going to see it. I can't hide it. I can't hide it. Some people can come to you and laugh in your face and drive the knife in your back because they're deceivers. They're filled with deception. It's in the heart. This is where the evil is. It's in the heart. They'll tell you in your face they care about you. But behind your back, they're talking about you. They don't really care about you. And no, God knows they don't care about you because God is looking at the heart. Why are you looking at the outside? They're smiling good in your face. And you're looking at the outside. Oh, they love me. They care about me. But in reality, they don't really care about you. They don't care about you. They want to receive accolades, to be puffed up. Listen. He says, and the Lord said unto Cain, verse 6, why art thou wroth, and why is thy countenance fallen? The Lord is looking at his face. God said, why are you acting up? Why are you acting so strange? I know why you're acting like this. I can see it in your face. Because you can't hide from God. People get there. One lady come to the church, and I said, well, you know, you can't have that kind of faith on you and bring other people to Christ. If you got this long, drawn-up face, dragged-down face, like all head is broken out like you, nobody coming to you. Nobody want to join the church that you're in. Nobody want to come to your church because you don't have no joy. The Bible said the joy of the Lord is our strength. And if we don't have no joy, that's that we don't have the strength of the Lord. So here, the Lord look at Cain. And ask him why he's so sad. Why you look the way you look? But God already know, because God's looking at his heart. He can see all the anger inside his heart. Hallelujah. Glory to God. The sin is piling up in his heart. He is mad at his brother. See, a lot of people can't get mad. Some people get mad at God, so they say. But they can't really get God mad at God, so they get mad at you. They get mad at the preacher. Why the preacher saying what he's saying? When God is saying, speaking to the preacher in the spirit, and the speaker saying, the preacher saying what God says, his spirit. So the Lord asked Cain, a very profound word. Question. He said, if thou doest well, shall thou not be accepted? And if thou doest not well, sin lieth at the door. And unto thee shall be his desire, and thou shalt rule over you, over him. See, sin takes control. You see, the moment that we get this stuff inside of our heart, remember, we're talking about the evil that's within our heart. When we're holding on to stuff, even with your husband or with your wife, and you're holding on to stuff, well, honey just said something that I don't like, but I'm not going to talk to her. And you're talking to yourself in yourself. He said, I'm not going to talk to her because I don't know why the reason she had to talk to me that kind of way. I'm going to go in my little place, my little corner, and I'm going to sit there and say, guess what happened? You mess up the whole thing now because the whole atmosphere has changed because of your spirit. Because guess what? Your wife, your husband can sense that you have this animosity in your heart against her. He can tell that, well, I look at her countenance, and she got this look about her. He got a look about her that's not the usual look I usually see on my husband, see on my wife. So something is going on. So now all day long, even to going into bed, you still got that spirit inside the bed with you because it's in your heart. And it's not going to come out until you open your mouth and repent and say, honey, I'm sorry. Baby, I'm sorry. I'm sorry. I was mad at you this morning because what you said, and it really affected me. You know, you say, well, baby, why didn't you tell me? You could have told me that. We could have dealt with that right there and then. I didn't even know what I said really affected you that kind of way. And clear the atmosphere. You mess the devil up right away. See, the Bible says, oh, God, just agree with your adversary quick. Say, he wouldn't have no power over you. See, when the adversary comes and bring thoughts in your mind and disturb your relationship with your family, look, expose it quick. But they harbor that stuff and carry that stuff for weeks, for months inside of them. So when they come to you or come to you, they come to you like a tiger, like a lion. They're not coming to you as a child of God to resolve a situation or a problem, because they have been carrying this thing against you for months, years. And when they finally get to talk to you, they talk to you like somebody in the street, ready to fight. If they had a weapon and you were right there, they would take you out. But yet still they say they love the Lord. And you see it right here in this text right here. Cain is carrying this stuff against his brother because his brother gave the Lord. He took a better offering to the Lord. He took the fattest of his sheep. He took the fattest of his flock to the Lord. He didn't take a little scrawny one with the ribs sticking out and the ass, the butt bone sticking out and the shoulder bone sticking out and the face, cheekbone sticking out. He took the fattest of his flock to the Lord. The most tenderest he took to the Lord. And the Lord was pleased. Like you see people come to the church, all of them, you got to give. If you want to be blessed, you have to give to the working of the Lord. The pastor's not waiting for you to bring an offering there for he to buy a shirt or buy a suit or put food on his table. But you want to get blessings from the Lord. So the Bible says you must sow seed into the kingdom. You want to be blessed? Pour in the kingdom and see who can stop you from being blessed. Don't let nobody come and tell you all these tricky words that they put upon you that you sow this, you're going to get this and get that. No, use the principle of the Lord. He said, give and it shall be given to you. Good measure. Pressed down, shaken together, and running over, should men give into your bosom. People will bless you. Don't even know why they bless you. You pull up your truck, pull up your car to the gas station, and somebody say, oh, sir, don't worry, brother, I got you. Don't. Some people say, well, I don't need, you don't need to do that. No, that's God blessing you. Why are you going to reject the blessing? Somebody meet you in the grocery store and say, well, I'm going to pay for your groceries today. You get all full of pride. No, I got it. I got my gold card here. I got my check card. No, God wants to bless you. And we get in the grocery store and some man or woman come up and says, I'm going to pay for her. I'm going to pay for her. Don't even know you. I'm going to pay for all of her stuff today. I'm going to pay for all his stuff today. You say, no, don't worry about it, man. Don't worry about it. I got it. See, it's your pride. God blessing you. You don't realize it's God. God's not coming down from the throne and flying down here to pay your bill. He's going to send somebody to bless you. That's how he blesses us. I see people coming to me and I'm out, and I said, oh, man of God, I was looking for you. But I'm glad I saw you today. I just want to bless you. I said, praise the Lord. I said, praise the Lord. I don't care what it is. I don't even look at it. I just put it in my pocket. I said, thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord Jesus. The man, I thank you. Can I pray with you? Lord, all this man has just given me, this woman just blessed me, just returned to her 100-fold. Bless her going and coming, Lord, because she didn't have to bless me. But you have touched her heart. You've touched his heart to bless me. Bless her. Guess what? They're going to get blessed. Because when you take care of the prophet of God, God's going to take care of you. Listen to what he says. This is so powerful. Lord, drop this in my spirit. I had to went over so many times last night. And, oh, Lord, just feed me. He fed me so awesome. He says, Cain talked with Abel, his brother. Now, listen. He has this spirit inside of him that is working on him. Remember, God said that if he don't do well, that the enemy would have control. Sin. Sin is the enemy. Life at the door. And he said, and thou shalt rule over him. Sin. Sin going to rule over you. Hallelujah. So now he wants to talk to his brother. Now listen to what the Bible says. And Cain talked with Abel, his brother. And it came to pass when they were in the field that Cain rose up against Abel, his brother, and slew him. Now, why are you going to kill your brother for giving an offering to the Lord? You see how awesome, how wicked, how evil, how deceptive Satan is when you allow him to get into your mental faculties, get into your mind, and you don't cast down that thought that, well, somebody said, well, you know, tell your wife that you were talking to somebody at the truck stop, at the gas station. Tell your husband, I saw your wife at the grocery store, and she was talking to Peter, and the way they were laughing is like they really got something going on. Well, if you really in love with your wife, if you really in love with your husband, you know who your husband is. You know what your husband or what your wife would do. You don't allow the devil to come in that slide into your thought pattern that easy to disturb your marriage. Probably that person that gave you that information, they don't even have a husband. They don't have a wife. So they're jealous because you and your wife, you and your husband are still doing well. You got to look at the thing, weigh it, put it in the scale. The Bible said a false balance is abomination to God, but a just weight is his delight. A lot of people are so tricky and cunning, they're trying to get you break up with your family. Leave your house with your children, your wife, your husband, and now you're out on the street with them. And now they're attacking, talking, oh, you know what, she left her husband. And he left his wife. He had a good wife. The same people that was bringing that negative talk to you would come to talk behind your back. I'm telling you, listen to what they did here, what this Cain did. He got a chance now to be with his brother out in the field. Because from time to time, you can see that they would meet in the field and just chat. They're brothers. And they chat. But Cain said, remember that God, how God had responded to his brother's offering, his brother's gift. Just like you go to the house of the Lord and you put an offering or bless the pastor, and the pastor come and shake your hand and talk to you kind. Somebody's watching in the sanctuary, and they develop animosity against you because of the pastor talking to you, because you respect your pastor for how your pastor is feeding you every Sunday, every Wednesday, every Saturday, how he's feeding you the word of God. And the Lord bless you financially. Oh, how we bless you, you decide what I want to share. Share something with my pastor, the man who feeds me, who looks after my soul, who prays for me when I'm sleeping, who prays for me when I'm on the highway driving, who is praying for me when I'm working. I want to just pour something back into this man of God, this woman of God. So the Bible says, I don't get you. I only got about six scriptures. But you know the Lord is working this scripture. I only got about six scriptures for today. He says, Cain in the field with his brother. He's having a talk. He's talking with his brother Abel. And it came to pass when they were in the field that Cain rose up against Abel, his brother, and slew him. He don't understand when you hold things in your heart against somebody. They call it malice or animosity. You're carrying this grievance inside of your heart. but you wouldn't release it to anyone, not even to the person that bring this thing upon you, that you allow this person, because you give that person room in your living room. I call it in my head the living room. You give them room in your living room to come and sit in there where you didn't invite them. You allow them to come and sit. They're not paying anything to sit in your living room and drink your Kool-Aid. They don't ever bring no Kool-Aid when they come. They don't ever bring no candy bar when they come. They don't ever come back and say, well, you know, I'm always come over to your house and you have good cookouts. I want to bring a six-pack of burgers. I want to bring a slab of ribs. They don't want to bring, but they always want to come and drink up your stuff. You give them room to come into your head. In your head, they're inside there living freely, tormenting you. King this. He carried this thing all this time. And when you got a chance that you think that the two brothers are going to get together. And Cain was the firstborn. You would think that he would have some sense. But because you're firstborn, that doesn't necessarily mean that you have some sense. You know? You remember Jacob and Esau? Same kind of problem. Very similar. Very similar. But you have to figure, focus on what God is doing. How to respond to God. And how to respond to man. A lot of time we want to respond to God with such holiness, but then we respond to man with a whole bunch of evil. We have no love, no compassion. No feelings for our mankind. But then we say, oh, how I love Jesus. Oh, how I love Jesus. Oh, how I love Jesus. And we lift up our hands and you know, we profess that we're so anointed. We're so appointed. But we can't love our fellow man. It's impossible. God is saying this. It says, and the Lord said unto Cain, where is Abel, thy brother? The Lord asked him a question, because the Lord already know he killed his brother. There's nothing that you can do on earth that heaven does not know. Hallelujah. The smallest word that you speak that is contrary to God's guidance, God already know. When you go on and you cussing and stuff, when all the other Christians are not around and the church folk are not around, God know. You let somebody get underneath your skin and you get them the finger, you get them the MF and the GD and all that kind of stuff. I told the folk yesterday in the church, you know, man, well, I remember when I was out there, oh man, every other word that come out my mouth was a curse word. Even when I got saved and I was in the church and still getting high, coming to church, God spraying that stuff in my mouth, coming to church building. I wasn't in the church yet. Because see, you, I'm the church, you the church, me the church. I was going to the church building, but I wasn't part of the church. I was still locked in the world. Maybe a half a foot in the church and all that, and a foot and a half in the world. And I had to pray to God and say, God, clean my town. Take this thing from me, because it seemed like I have no control over my town. As soon as somebody says something that I didn't like, I would cuss them out. What do they call it? Giving them a piece of my mind. I would give them a piece of my mind. And I had to pray to God to take that thing from me. And do you know he took it away from me? He took it away. And he told me, he said, look, let's go and bury it in the safe in the ground. Bury it in the ground in the safe. And lock it up. And don't go back and dig it up. Because a lot of times we say, well, I hide that thing away. But soon as stuff goes, we go dig up the ground, open the wall, wherever you put it, and you dig it up and you take it back out, and you use it. You use it. The very thing that you told God you weren't going to use anymore, you go take back out. But Cain, God said, where is your brother Abel? And he responded to God and said, I know not. Am I my brother's keeper? And he said, what is that thou done? What hast thou done? The voice of thy brother's blood crieth unto me from the ground. The blood is crying out. Hallelujah. And we still want to continue sin. Jesus' blood is crying out for us. We still want to dib and dab in sin. One foot in and one foot out. Cain's blood, Abel's blood is crying out. But Cain took his life. He said, am I my brother's keeper? And the Lord said, what hast thou done? The voice of the bread cleft unto me from the ground. And now art thou cursed from the earth, which hath opened her mouth to receive thy brother's blood from thy hand. Now the very thing that God has put King, a master of, over, he had cursed him. Hallelujah. The earth, King was a master over the earth, a tiller, but now he is cursed because he can't make anything work for him now. Why? Because he took his brother's life. He said, when thou tillest the ground, it shall not henceforth yield unto thee her strength. In other words, when you plant seed, you will not get a harvest. This is what God is saying to Cain right now. Because he allowed malice, jealousy. Jealousy, we can't fellowship together. We claim we as brothers and sisters in Christ, but we can't fellowship together. Why? Because we allow malice and jealousy to enter in. Enter into our hearts. And what it has us doing against each other from day to day, month to month, year to year, is gossiping about each other. No compassion, no mercy, no grace. But you say you love the Lord. God forgive us all. Listen what he says. I'm going to verse 16, then I'm going to go somewhere else. This is where I want to go to. He said, when thou tillest the ground, verse 12 again, it shall not henceforth yield unto thee her strength. This is the King James Version. So this, you know, this is really difficult. A fugitive and a vagabond thou shalt be in the earth. It doesn't matter how he plants, how he cultivates the ground. The ground will no longer give increase to him, will not yield her fruit to him. I know I have family members that plant. They like to plant. My father-in-law was a great planter. Oh, he can make anything grow. Oh, he used to have everything, hot peppers, guinea peppers, Brazil peppers. He had all carrots. He had beans. He had cabbage. He had cucumbers. He had strawberries. Oh, he did, man, big old watermelons. He had a big, huge garden. Whole backyard was garden. He had a big backyard. The only thing was his backyard apart from the garden was a swimming pool. But that man had all year round, he had fruit. He had all types of greens and stuff. But when your hands is not anointed, when your hands are not blessed, thank you, Holy Spirit, that's what he wanted me to say. When your hands are not blessed, don't care what you put in the ground, don't come up. And if it do come, it die. Now, if you look at my backyard now, I got greens and everything going on, ginger and all kind of stuff, and peppermint and basil and parsley and all type of stuff growing up there. And I'm waiting for my pumpkins and stuff to come out. I got all this stuff. They all got their buds and stuff out. Because my hand is blessed. God has blessed my hand. That's why I told people, they said, well, I want you to pray for my mama. I said, well, I can't pray for your mama until God tell me. Because if I go and pray for your mama, guess what? It would be praying for your mama. But when God tell me pray for your mama, guarantee what I pray for going to happen. Because God is praying through me. He says to Cain, the blood is crying from the ground. Whatever you plant now, he says, the ground not going to yield to you because you're cursed. He says, and Cain said unto the Lord, verse 13, said unto the Lord, my punishment is greater than I can bear. Now you kill your brother, but now you don't want to receive your just punishment. I was looking at YouTube last night. I don't know if you've seen it, Minister Jones, and this little girl, I think they said she was 17 years old. She's 17 years old now. But she's charged with murder. And this pedophile, this sex trafficker, that kidnapped her from some state. She's American. And they raped her. They do all kind of stuff with her. She's a little girl. I don't know if she used a razor blade, if she used a bottle, if she do the tin can, but she killed her. The one who kidnapped her and was doing all this stuff to her. They got her in shackles, 17 years old, little African-American, and talking about they wanted to give her a life sentence for defending herself. no justice. The only justice we're going to get is when God sent a tornado and take over some of these states, an earthquake. And it's hard to say this because the Bible said when it rained on the just and the unjust. Don't worry when the tornado comes, you got to be taken, because if you shave and sacrifice, you're going to be with the Lord. But this is the only way you're going to get some of this wickedness out of this country. Because the people that are blinded right now, and they need to be woken up from their sleep. And the preachers need to go back to preaching hell and fire. You understand? They need to go back to preach this thing that people will understand that this thing is real. One person was saying last night that there's no heaven and no hell. That you're in heaven now, you're in hell right now. They believe that stuff. Because folks saying that stuff. And folks don't preach about judgment no more anymore. They don't preach about it. But here God told Cain. Cain, you'll be a vagabond, a fugitive and a vagabond shall thou be in the earth. And Cain said unto the Lord, my punishment is greater than I can bear. Behold, thou hast driven me out this way, this day, from the face of the earth, and from thy face shall I be hid. And I shall be a fugitive and a vagabond in the earth. And it shall come to pass that everyone that findeth me shall slay me. But the Lord is not going to let nobody slay him, because he got to go through, face his judgment. Hallelujah. And the Lord said unto him, therefore whosoever slayeth Cain, vengeance shall be taken on him sevenfold. Seven times God said, I'm going, if you kill Cain, no, because Cain kill his brother, he got to face this thing. He got to go through this thing that he need to go through. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Sometimes we feel like we're killing our brother, killing our sister. Do you ever feel that? When you act unseemly, not like a godly child, proclaiming that you're godly, proclaiming that you're a sister, a brother of this body, but you're not. Not truly what? Glory to God. I got a brother that I can tell you this is truly my brother. I don't matter if I see him 10 years. We got one in Brazil, when he's from Brazil, he's in Virginia. He just got a truck. I think he's driving tractor trailer. No, he got trucks, TVL license. And if I don't see him, I know the last time I seen him this was a few years. But if he call and need me, I'm there for him. I'm there for him. I got several here on the line right now that is truly my brothers. I know this because I know the spirit. And it's not a game thing. It's not for materialistic things or money or food or nothing. We just have the spirit of brotherly love. And this is what God wants from us. When things go wrong, we make up. We don't make up with fuss, with angry spirit. That's not of God. An angry spirit is not of God. You make up with love. That's what we was talking about, love the other. You make it with love. Glory to God. He said, God, give me this when I got up from the church yesterday. I didn't have this. God gave it to me. And he said, teach about that this morning. He said, Ken, I'm not going to let nobody kill you. In today's language, God said, look, Ken, I'm not going to let nobody kill you. Anybody kill you, they're going to pay the punishment seven times. Seven times over. And the Lord set a mark upon Cain, lest any find him, should kill him. And Cain went out from the presence of the Lord and dwelt in the land of Nod, on the east of Eden. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. No, he couldn't go into Eden. His father and mother couldn't go into Eden. You see how this generational curse that needed to be broken? Yeah. Adam and Eve had to leave paradise. And Cain couldn't enter because of sin. Jealousy. Because it was jealousy that caused him to kill his brother. Let's go to Jeremiah says that. What Jeremiah says. He says that the heart is desperately deceitful above all things. The heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. Who can know it? Who can know the heart? This is why he says that examine your heart first. Anywhere look in yourself and see what is not, what doesn't line up with God's commands. And repent about it. None of us are perfect. None of us can raise our hands and say, oh, Lord, I got it together. No, none of us can do that. Genesis chapter 25. Let's go over there. We're talking about the evil that's within the heart. That's the topic today. The evil that's within the heart. Genesis chapter 25. And let's start at where we going. Verse 19. Let's start at verse 19. And this is the history of the descendants of Isaac. I'm in the Amplified now. Isaac, Abraham's son. Abraham was the father of Isaac. Isaac was 40 years old when he married Rebekah, the daughter of Bethuel, the Arabian or Syrian, Padan Aram, the sister of Laban. He was a Syrian too, Arabian. Arabian. So Isaac prayed much to the Lord or entreated the Lord for his wife because she was unable or barren. He was unable to bear children. And the Lord granted his prayer. And Rebekah, his wife, became pregnant. Now, you got to see that this man loved his wife so much. And knowing that she was barren, that she could not have children, he didn't say, well, look, you know, I'm going to get another wife. You just got to go. Let's get divorced. He went before the Lord and interceded. The Bible says in the King James that he entreated the Lord, which is the same thing as prayed. Ask the Lord, seek the Lord on behalf of his wife. Well, she became pregnant. The Lord granted his request. She became pregnant. And two children struggled together within her. And she said, if it is so that the Lord has heard our prayer, why am I like this? Why am I going through this? That's what she said. Why am I feeling so much pain? Why does it seem like there's a tornado going on inside my stomach? Something is happening like a hurricane inside my stomach. So Rebecca says she's going to go and inquire of the Lord. I'm going to go and seek the Lord because things don't seem right. I am pregnant. Now, I had a hard time getting pregnant. And now that I get pregnant, it seems like all hell is breaking loose inside of my stomach. I don't know what's going on. So I better go talk to the one who knows. This is what you do. Go talk to the Lord first. Don't start a whole bunch of cry. The Lord said to her, the fountains of two nations are in your womb. And the separation of two people has begun in your body. The one people shall be stronger than the other, and the elder shall serve the younger. When her days to be delivered were fulfilled, behold, there were twins in her womb. She was getting ready to give birth. And the first came out red, all over like a hairy garment. And they named him Esau because he was hairy. After his brother came forth and his hand grasped Esau's heel, so he was named Jacob, meaning supplanter, trickster. Isaac was 60 years old when she gave birth to them. When the boys grew up, Esau was a cunning and skilled hunter, a man of the outdoors. But Jacob was a plain and quiet man dwelling in tents. He was a mama's boy. He stayed in the house, making sure that his beard was trimmed, his head was trimmed, his face was shaved. He made sure that he looked good. He's the kind of kid that every time he looked around, he was in the mirror, looking at himself. Esau was in the field trying to get food, some type of rabbit, some kind of wild game, so the kids, the family can have something to eat. You know, Jacob was getting old. So he was doing he was catching the food, the venison and so on. So the Bible says, oh, Isaac loved and was partial soul to Esau because he ate of Esau's game. But Rebekah, his wife, loved Jacob. Because Jacob's right there at mama's arm. If mama said for anything, Jacob could get it. Reaching for mama all the time. He's mama's boy. Jacob's is boiling pottage, lentil stew, beans, you know. And one day when Esau came from the field and was faint, he was hungry. And all he's out there, he's run out of water. He didn't have no biscuits or nothing with him. So he ran out the desolate water he had to drink, and he was thirsty, he was faint, nothing to eat. He wants to fall over. So he can't wait to get back home because feeling that when he get home, there may be something in the house. He didn't catch anything. That he wasn't able to get any food, catch anything that day. So he came home, and Jacob was putting on, cooking some stuff, some stew. He could smell the stew from a little way. He says, I just got to get home before I die, before I feel bad. So he got to the house. Esau said to Jacob, I beg you. Brother shouldn't have to beg brother for some food. If I have something in my brother in Christ, or my I don't have a brother from my mother's womb out there like, but my spiritual, if one of my brothers or sisters in need, I have it. They wouldn't have to beg me. I know they need. Why I gotta sit down and wait there with my hands in my pocket waiting for them to beg me and say, man, I need $100, I need $200, I need $500 to do this bad thing. I know they need. Matter of fact, I heard through the grapevine that they can't pay the bills. And I have it to help them. I gotta wait till they call me and beg me. Devil's a liar. So the Bible says he's begging his brother. Let me have some of that red lentil stew to eat, for I am faint and famished. That is why his name was called Edom, because his skin was red. The hair on it was red. Jacob answered, then sell me today your birthright, the right of your firstborn. You see how the devil comes in so slippery and bring this deceptive idea to one brother. Remember, he did the same thing to Cain. When they both offer up the gifts to God, but God received Abel, got this jealousy. This jealousy come from Satan. Jealousy don't come from God. Hallelujah. So kill his brother. No, Jacob is going to outsmart his brother. He wants the firstborn rights. Hallelujah. Esau said, see here, I am at the point of death. What good can the first right do for me? What good can it do for me? For me having a sports car and my family is dying for hungry. And I know if I sell the car, I can get almost as much as I paid for it right now. Because it looks good, it runs good, no problems, and somebody going to give me more for it. Why would I save it? Esau says, the birthright is no good to me if I'm dead. So give me something. The brother can give him without this deception. But the brother wants the birthright. The birthright is more to him than his own brother. That's what I see in the word. Esau says, and Jacob said, swear to me today that you are selling it to me. And he swore to Jacob and sold him his birthright. Then Jacob gave Esau bread and stew and lentils, and he ate and drank and rose up and went his way. Thus Esau scorned his birthright as beneath his notice. I come to tell you today, do not allow that slimy old serpent to slime into your thoughts, into your heart, and cause you to come against your brother and sister, either in the natural or in the spiritual, because Satan is slimy and he's full of tricks. Let's go to Genesis. Genesis chapter 27. He's all over this book. Deception. And it's here for us. This is why you see why there's so much deception going on. Because a lot of people don't want to go back. It's in the church building. It's in the body of believers. We're looking at the world. But God is looking at us first to set an example for the world. But we don't want to go back to the Old Testament and pull up the scriptures that would give us clear understanding of how God wants us to live, how he wants us to treat each other. Listen, I'm a New Testament apostolic church. You know, I got this apostolic thing on me. But you better have some foundation on that old scripture, that Old Testament, because that's the foundation to the house. You know, you got too much junk in the house right now. And the junk needs to be cleaned up by the word of God, truth, Old Testament scripture. Hear what he says. Let's move over here. So, and then in the Amplified. Verses 1. When Isaac was old and his eyes were dim so that he could not see, he called Esau, his elder son, and said to him, my son. And he answered him, here I am. He said, see here now, I am old. I do not know when I may die. So now I pray you, take your weapons, your arrows, in a quiver and your bow, and go out into the open country, into the field, and hunt game for me, and prepare me appetizing meat, such as I love, and bring it to me that I may eat of it preparatory to giving you my blessing. In other words, he said, look, before I lay my hands on you and bless you, I want you to allow me to eat this good venison that you always catch and cook for me. Let me eat my choice meal before I die. This is what Isaac is saying to Esau. But at the same time, let's not go too far. But Rebekah heard what Isaac said to Esau, his son. And when Esau had gone to the open country to hunt for game, that he might bring it, Rebekah said to Jacob, her youngest son, see here, I heard your father say to Esau, your brother, bring me game and make me appetizing meat so that I may eat and declare my blessing upon you before the Lord, before my death. So now, my son, do exactly as I command you. Now, see, the deception is in the atmosphere. It's in the family. I want you to notice this deception is here. Hallelujah. So. She's now going to run a game now on her husband for her youngest son. Hallelujah. Deception. See, we allow this thing to come in because it comes in by what you see and what you hear. This is how deception gets to you. This is where you got to stop listening to all these people tell you this and tell you that. And they want to tell you about your father, tell you about your mother, want to tell you about your brother, tell you about your sister, tell you about your husband, tell you about your wife. Don't listen to them. Shut them up. If God want me to know something, he'll tell me. Hallelujah. Oh, ask them, where's your wife? Where's your husband? Do you know where your husband is right now? Do you know where your wife is right now? Ask them. I bet you they'll shut their mouth. They'll shut up. Because, see, they're coming with a slimy word from the devil to bring discord, to bring division. Now, watch this. She talking to her son, to her youngest son. And the youngest son, Jacob is a trickster. Yes, sir. He's a trickster. He already tricked his brother. So he going to agree with his mama to trick his brother again, rob his brother again of the blessing. You got the birthright. Now you're going to rob him again the second time. So go now to the flock. This is what she commands. She told him to do exactly as he said, talking to Jacob. And from it, bring me two good and suitable kids, little lambs. And I will make them into appetizing meat for your father, such as he loves. See, she is his wife. She knows what he loves. Hallelujah. I am sure your husband knows what you love. Your wife knows what you love. They know. If they don't know, you better go back and check the whole thing all over. I preached a message one time. Do you know what your husband loves? Do you know what your wife loves? Do you know what they wear? What their favorite colors are? A lot of people in the church, they were looking at me, church business, they were looking at me like crazy. Because they didn't know. But if you're with him long enough, you should ought to know what his favorite color. What he loves most to eat. What he loves to drink. When he's relaxing and listening or watching the TV, what do he like to eat? Well, you know, since I had the high blood pressure and stuff, I don't eat as much ice cream as I used to like. But you know, my wife knew that when I laid across the bed and I finished, I take my shower and all that stuff, and I lay across the bed and I'm relaxing late at night, she know I like a bowl of ice cream. I used to like that. But after I get the high blood pressure and stuff, I cut back all that stuff. I don't eat that stuff all the time. Once in a while, I eat it for a treat. But she know that. She know that. You ought to know, ought to be with your companion for such a long time that you ought to know everything about. No devil can come and tell, well, you know, your husband this, your wife this. No, shut that devil up. Shut that devil up. So she told Jacob to go get this stuff. Bring it. She going to prepare. She going to do the... Jacob ain't no good cook, but she going to prepare the stuff. Then now, he said, and you shall bring it to your father that he may eat and declare his blessing upon you before his death. But Jacob said to Rebekah, his mother, listen, Esau, my brother, is a hairy man, and I am a smooth man. See how they got to work this thing out? I want to tell you that the devil is, man, he is submit. He doesn't miss a trick because he's a trickster. That's why you got to stay ahead of the devil by knowing the word of God. I told the people yesterday, I said, look, don't you ever get too comfortable and think that the devil are not going to try to trick you. He's not going to try to run a game on you because you know a little bit. You better know a lot of words and get it in you. Don't get in the word. I said, my pastor used to tell me when I lived in Virginia, I used to tell him, he said, son, after the good message he and his wife preached, he said, wait, what are you going to do? I said, I'm going home and get in the word. He said, no, don't go home and get in the word. Go home and get the word in you. I couldn't understand it. But now I know what he was saying. After years passed, I understand what he's saying. Get the word in you. David said, that word have I hid in my heart that it will not sin against thee. You got to hide this word in you. You got to get the word in you. See, people are getting in the word, but the word ain't getting in them. It's a difference. So this boy, he said, look, my brother, he's smooth. I'm smooth, and he's rough. He got them here sticking up. My father going to know the difference. Well, what's these tricksters they planning this game? Support my father, steal me, he said. And I seem to him to be a cheat and an imposture. I would bring his curse on me and not his blessing. But his mother said to him, on me be your curse, my son. only obey my word and go. Fetch them to me. Fetch the two lambs, the two kids. So Jacob went, got the kids, and brought them to his mother, and his mother prepared appetizing meat with its delightful odor. Smelled real good. Ah, Isaac can see, he could smell, the fragrance of that, the aroma of the spices coming through the house. Hallelujah, glory to God. Japanese barbecue. I tell you, I never tasted nothing like that before. Yeah, we just got that sauce. I tell you, I go to get another bottle of that, but I put it on some ribs, and I let them ribs just, oh my God, just stay in the oven, and let them just slow cook in the oven. Yeah, man, put that sauce on, and they start falling off, they fall off the bone. But it was so good, tender. Oh, you could smell the fragrance of that sauce in the house. I don't understand what she's saying about here, that she, how she going to trick Jacob, Isaac. So Jacob and his mother's all on the plan. How did she going to trick her husband, and he going to trick his father? He already tricked his brother already, deceived his brother. So, oh, God, Jacob is smelling this. Isaac is smelling something, not Jacob. Isaac is smelling this food all through the house. He's ready to eat. So Jacob went, got the kids, and brought them to his mother. And his mother prepared appetizing meat with a delightful odor, such as his father loved. Then Rebekah took her eldest son, Esau, best clothes, which were with her in the house, and put them in Jacob's, her younger son, put them on him, and she put the skin of the kids on his arms and on the smooth part of his neck. See, she know that Isaac gonna rub his hand, and it's a good chance he's gonna put his hand around his neck to pull him close to him, cause he wants to smell him. Isaac was a smart man of God, and very intelligent. So he gonna catch you with the feel, the touch, and he gonna catch you with the smell. So, excuse me, Rebekah has to cover all of these avenues. You hear what I'm saying? She has to cover all of these gates, cause he might rub his arms, and he might test behind his back, because Esau has a lot of hair on his neck. But Jacob didn't have no hair on his neck. You understand? So this Rebekah got to cover all of these gates, all of these avenues. Hallelujah. So she can deceive her husband for her younger son. Hallelujah. So listen. Yes. And she gave the servant meat and the bread which she had prepared into the hand of her son Jacob. So he went to his father and said, my father. And he said, here am I. Who are you, my son? And Jacob said to his father, I am Esau, your firstborn. His voice didn't sound 100% like Esau. I want you to know that. His voice wasn't sounding 100% like Esau. So, in a way, Jacob's had a little doubt. Isaac had a little doubt. Because Jacob didn't sound like Esau. Let me show you. Yeah. Glory to God. And Isaac said to his son, now let's go up to verse 19. Jacob said to his father, I am Isaac. I'm Esau, your firstborn. Excuse me, I know what I'm saying. My eyes are moving too fast. I have done what you told me to do. Now sit up and eat my game so that you may proceed to bless me. Now, watch what he said here. He want me blessed. And Isaac said to his son, how is it that you have found the game so quickly, my son? See, he know that when Esau go into the country, it usually take him a little time before he can catch the venison. You understand? So he has a little doubt. Something don't seem right to me. You hear what I'm saying? Glory to God. And he said, because the Lord your God caused it to be, come to me. But Isaac said to Jacob, come close to me, I beg you. See, he has a little doubt. I want you to notice. That I may see you, my son. He said, I want to touch you. And know whether you really are my son Esau or not. He had some doubt. But these two tricksters, they're full with deception. His mother's already planned out the whole game. I told you, she's covering every gate. This is where the evil that's within your heart, you put it into motion. Cain put it into motion to take his brother out. Remember, I told you that. So now here he comes. Isaac, he's old. His eyes are going dim. He hardly can see. You could even say he was actually blind. He was seeing like maybe a little dazzle, a little daze of a little shadow, but he couldn't make out the full appearance of his son. So he wants to touch him. He wants to rub his hand over his hand and feel the hair on his forearm and on his neck. So Jacob went near to Isaac, and his father felt him and said, the voice is Jacob's voice, but the hands are the hands of Esau. There's some trickery going on right here. I want you to see this. This is what the devil does to a lot of us. He is a deceiver, an accuser, and this is why we have to study. Continue studying the word of God. So you can see the deceptions of the enemy. Hallelujah. I told him on Sunday, I said, if you're working for the devil don't have no need. He don't have a reason to trick you or come upon you with some stuff because he already got you on his payroll. You're already following his instructions. But if you have made a conscious decision to live for the Lord, live holy, you better keep your eyes open because the enemy coming after you. He's coming after you, and he's not coming alone. He's coming with seven added demons because now you know a little bit. You know a little bit, so you got to bring some more tricksters. They're going to work on you and keep you from even focusing. You can't think fast enough. They're fast thinkers. Their demons are fast thinkers. He said, look, you got the hands of Esau, but your voice is Jacob's voice, but the hands is Esau's voice. He could not identify him. Because his hands were hairy like his brother Esau's hands. So he blessed him. But he said, are you really my son Esau? He answered, I am. Isaac didn't have a choice. He already told Esau he would bless him when he got him what he needed to eat before he died. And his mother heard the whole conversation. It's like Isaac was talking, having a conversation with the Lord. He has to fulfill the oath that he has just spoken in the atmosphere. So he got to bless Jacob. Then Isaac said, bring it to me, and I will eat of my son's game, that I may bless you. He brought it to him and he ate, and he brought him wine, and he drank. Excuse me. Then his father, Isaac, said, come near and kiss me, my son. Now he wants to smell him. I want you to know this. He touched him. He feel him. Now he wants to kiss him so he can smell the smell that you have when you go out in the field hunting game. The sweat, the dust, that's all on you. Like when you're coming from your job, you have a kind of smell that identify you as working hard out there in the sun. So he wants to kiss him. Oh, my Lord Jesus. Woo. Isaac smelled his clothing and blessed him and said, the scent of my son is as the of a field which the Lord has blessed. Do you see that? The mother had already rubbed all of that smell on him to make him smell like the field, like out in the country. Deception is heavy, man. Listen to me, people of God. It's in the heart. This thing comes from in the heart. Love comes from the heart. It's pure. Deception comes from the heart. It's evil. Evil out of the heart. What I tell you what Jeremiah said, right? Hallelujah. Taught us this. Jeremiah says, the heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. Who can know it? You can't know it. Hallelujah. You have to focus and look at the heart through the eyes of God. How you look at the heart through the eyes of God? Through the word. Through the word. That's how you look at the heart. Isaac blessed Jacob. Jacob smelled like Esau. He said, and may God give you of the dew of the heavens and of the fatness of the earth, and abundance of grain and new wine. Let people serve you and nations bow down to you. Be master over your brothers, and let your mother's son bow down to you. Let everyone be cursed who curses you, and favor with blessing who bless you. As soon as Isaac had finished blessing Jacob, and Jacob was scarcely gone, Jacob was scarcely gone out from the presence of Isaac, his father, Esau, his brother, came in from his hunting. And Esau had also prepared savory food and brought it to his father and said to him, let my father arise and eat. And his sons, of his son's game, that you may bless me. And Isaac, his father, said to him, who are you? And he replied, I am your son, your firstborn Esau. Then Isaac trembled and shook violently. And he said, who? Where is he who has hunted game and brought it to me? And I ate of it. Oh, before you came, and I have blessed him. Yes, and he shall be blessed. When Esau heard the words of his father, he cried out with a great and bitter cry and said to his father, bless me, even me, also my father. Isaac said, your brother came with crafty cunning and treacherous deceit, and has taken your blessing. Esau replied, is he not rightly named Jacob, the supplanter? For he has supplanted me these two times. He has tricked me these two times. That's what he means. He took away my birthright, and now he has taken away my blessing. Have you not still a blessing reserved for me? Father, that's what he's saying. And Isaac answered, he saw, behold, I have made Jacob your Lord and Master. I have given all his brethren to him for service. And with corn and new wine have I sustained him. What then can I do for you, my son? Esau said to his father, have you only one blessing, my father? Bless me, even me also, my father. And Esau lifted up and could not control his voice and wept aloud. Then Isaac, his father, answered, your blessing and dwelling shall not come from the first fruitfulness of the earth and from the dew of heavens above. By your sword you shall live and serve your brother. But the time shall come when you will grow, restrive, and break loose, and you shall hear, and you shall tear his yoke from off your neck. And Esau hated Jacob because of the blessing with which his father blessed him. And Esau said in his heart, the days of mourning for my father are very near. When he is gone, I would kill my brother Jacob. You see, this deception, it continues to grow and grow and grow. And this is why we have to be very careful when we're dealing with people that are full of deception. They're very cunning, very smart, very smooth. They love having people around them to get them accolades. You have to watch them. And they turn people against people because they're not concerned about the kingdom. Esau is now taking on the same spirit. But he will be checked because God has the thing in control. We have to be careful. This Lucifer that we talk about, this Satan, his spirit that's in the earth is raging right now. And I believe that what God is calling for us as people, his children, is to pull together the church, not the building, because the building's going to crumble after time. Esau hated Jacob because of the blessing with which his father blessed him. And Esau said, he said this in his heart, the days of mourning for my father are very near. When he is gone, I will kill my brother Jacob. These words of Esau, eldest son, was repeated to Rebecca. She sent for Jacob, her younger son, and said to him, see here, your brother Esau comforts himself concerning you by intending to kill you. So now, my son, do what I tell you. This is the second time she's saying this stuff to him. Third time she's saying this to him. Do what I tell you. Arise, flee to my brother Laban in Haran. Linger and dwell with him for a while until your brother's fury is spent, until Esau is cooled off. When your brother's anger is diverted from him, he will forget the wrong that you have done him. Then I will send and bring you back home here. Why should I be deprived of both of my sons in one day? Then Rebekah said to Isaac, I am weary of my life because of the daughters of Heth. These wives of Esau, if Jacob takes a wife of the daughters of Heth, such as these, Hittites, girls around here, what good will my life be to me? It's the word of the God. Now, Genesis chapter 5, chapter 6. See, the deception is every way. Genesis chapter 6. I'm going to give a little bit more distinctive because we got to get some stuff up in here. I want to tell something that this thing came to me yesterday when I got home here from the church building. And it just blessed me because God always show you everything that you want to know. Now, Genesis chapter 6 and verse 5, it says, "And God saw that the wickedness of man was great in the earth, and that every imagination of the thoughts of his heart was only evil continually." See, God see the stuff that's going on inside the hearts of men. Look at chapter 37 of Genesis. Look at chapter 37. It's all in the heart, people. We need the sermon of the Lord. We need the Lord to give us heavenly discernment so we can see these people that on earth that say they love us, that they care for us, and see where that's coming from. Here in Genesis chapter 37, let's start at verse 1. We're in King James Version. "And God said unto Jacob, Arise and go to Bethel and dwell there, and make there an altar unto God." No. Let's, no, wrong chapter. I'm sorry. Let's go to 37. 37 is what I want. Chapter 37. Sorry. "And Jacob dwelt in the land of, in the land wherein his father was a stranger, in the land of Canaan. These are the generations of Jacob. Joseph, being 17 years old, was feeding the flock with his brethren, and the lad was with the sons of Bilhah, and with the sons of Zilpah, his father's wife. And Joseph brought unto his father the evil report. And now Israel loved Jacob because that all Now Israel loved Jacob more than all his brethren because he was the son of his old age, and he made him a coat of many colors. And when his brethren saw that their father loved him more than all his brethren, they hated him and could not speak peaceably about him unto him." Now watch this. I want to show that this has been deception, this conniving, this hatred between brothers. It's all in the heart. They see the father looking over to the younger child, and they become jealous. They have access to all that the father has. But just one thing that turned them away from their brother, the father make the son this colorful coat. And they develop such hatred that they wanted to kill Joseph. You know the whole story. Hallelujah. They even put him in a pit. They sold him to the Midianites. Hallelujah. Because God is doing something. God will take whatever the enemy is taking, use it for bad against you, and turn it around for your good. We can read this whole chapter. I don't want to put it in there. I'm feeling like I got to stop. But read this chapter. And you'll see, most of you all that are on here, you are scholars of the gospel. You'll know this is only 36 verses. Read it to the end. And you will see the deception, the hatred, the jealousy that's between these brothers. But Joseph was placed in a position because there's going to be a famine in Egypt. There's going to be a famine through Israel. There's going to be a famine in the land, so God is placing Joseph in position to take care of his people. They think they're doing him wrong. But at the same time, it's doing him good because he'll be in position where God wants him to be. I want to tell you today, don't take the words of the people. Watch their actions. Somebody say that I say I love people from the center of my heart. And how can I change? I'm changed. People change. I'm still the same person that God called me to be. But I've learned to a place not to tolerate stupid stuff. You have to separate yourself from stupid stuff. You know, you have to. Because one thing for sure and two things for sure. The Lord brought this to me after I come back from preaching that powerful message yesterday. And he says, I want you to look. I want you to see where evil dwells in men. It dwells in their heart. They say one thing with their mouth, but their heart is somewhere else. And he showed me these three farms. There's three situations here. Cain and Abel. Jacob and Esau. And now Joseph and his brothers. Three powerful situations. And God said that this is an example in the book for the children of God. This is not for the world. This is for those who call themselves sons and daughters of the Most High God. This word here today. Go back and listen to it. I won't run it on notes. I just saying what the Lord said. Go back and listen to it for yourself. And maybe it'll help you in your ministry. It'll help you in your walk. Help you in your relationship. Help you with your wife. Help you with your cousin, your uncle, your brother. It will help you. Because I preached that word yesterday talking about staying connected to Jesus. And I got home and he gave me this word. And this word just blessed me. I tell you the truth, Apostle. It blessed me, this word. Blessed me. Glory to God. And I never preached this before. Never taught this before. Only six scriptures. Only six scriptures. And I had this Genesis 37 all the way to the end, but the Holy Spirit just tell me just rest right there. So, Father, we thank you and praise you, O God, for this word that you have given us. We bless your holy name. We praise your holy name. We glorify your holy name. We honor you, God, because you never give us what we want, but you give us what we need. I thank you, Father, for this word that you allow me to see my brothers and sisters as you see them. Lord, I hold nothing in my heart against no man, living or dead. God, my only objective in everything that I do is to give you glory. Father, I know there's some places in my life that I'm not on target. So I'm asking you and begging you, pleading to you, to help me to get on target where I need to be, to bring glory to your name, oh God. This is all I'm asking. And Lord, help me to do much better in teaching and preaching and declaring and decreeing your truth. Because people are dying and going to hell, not having the truth. In the mighty name of Jesus. If you don't know Jesus as your Lord and Savior, take an opportunity today. I'm going to do a quick, sharp prayer. Take an opportunity today just to give your life to Jesus. Even if you have backslidden, find yourself going in the wrong direction, call out upon the name of Jesus. Call out on his name and let him know that he already knows because he searches the heart. Hallelujah. The deep things he searched. Just the Lord Jesus, I am a sinner in need of a Savior. And I understand that if I call out, you would answer me. If I call out in the mindset of repentance from my heart, because true repentance got to come from the heart. I am calling on you, Jesus, in need of salvation today. The word says that if I believe in my, if I confess in my mouth and I believe in my heart that God raised Jesus from the dead, I will be saved. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. The scripture says, whosoever believe in the heart should not be ashamed. Whosoever believes in Jesus, they should not be ashamed. I'm just quoting these scriptures out of me. Bible says, for all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. All, A-double-L, you, me, all of us, have sinned And the enemy is still trying to get us to go back into our lifestyle of sin. But you have to stay in the Word. No, you must repent and be baptized in the name of Jesus for the remission of sin, and you will receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. This is what Acts 2 and 38 says. It's very important that you repent. And repentance just simply means that you are turning away from doing the stuff that you used to do. You're leaving. You're doing something. You're going to gravitate to something different. Start doing something that's different. Now, as I told them folk yesterday, you have to get connected. Once you give your life to Christ, you have to start with a change, a sudden change. That means you've got to start working with different, walking and living with different people, people that are going in the direction that you want to go in. Hallelujah. Connect with other believers that are hungry and thirsty, those that are going after the filling, the being filled. Hallelujah. Connect with them. Okay. Remember, there's only one way to the Lord, to the Father, and that's Jesus. In the Bible, Jesus says, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one come to the Father except by me. So you can't get it no other way. Many people are saying there's other ways, but there's only one way. That's Jesus. There's no other way. You have to submit, commit, give your life completely to him, make a decision that you're going to live for him. Hallelujah. He make a decision. He said, I was going to the cross. He said, I laid down my life that I might pick it up. He didn't force him. Nobody pushed him down. He laid down his life himself, that he will pick it up. He's all power. He got all power. So he laid down his life. Now we can decide to take our life up through his laying down and go forward to declare that Jesus is Lord. The preacher said but I got a friend down the Bahamas, pastor. He says that the people are not, he said that the church is not evangelizing enough. He said they're not evangelizing enough. He got a big church down there. He said they're not evangelizing enough. The people are satisfied being in the building, but they're not going out. And people are dying and going to hell because they're not coming to the building searching for the word. We got to take the word to them. We got to take the word to them, you know, so that they hear the word of salvation. They hear what Jesus done. A lot of people say, well, I don't know about the cross. The man asked the people in the street, said, what do you know about crucifixion? He said, well, I never heard nothing about no crucifixion. The kids were telling the man, we know nothing about no crucifixion. What's a crucifixion? The Bible says, neither is there salvation in any other, for there's none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. Jesus is the only name, the only person, the only one that can save you, and the only one who can heal you, deliver you, and restore you, put you in right standing before the Father. By grace, you have been saved through faith and not of works, lest anyone should boast. It is the gift of God. You have to know that Jesus did all this stuff for us so that we would have access to the Father through his love. His love for us. The Bible said that God commanded his love towards us that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. While we were yet sinners, he didn't say, let him just face sin and die and go to hell. So I'm going to send my son. Let him give his life. Let him lay down his life at the cross. He said he came into the world not to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. This is what Jesus come to. He come to save you and I. If we call upon his name, and then once we call out to him, then we make a decision that we're going to live. Allow him to lead us and guide us. Because that's what you do. See, he told the disciples, it's expedient that I go to the Father, but when I go, I will not leave you comfortless. When I go, I will send the Comforter, and he will bring all to, when he come, he'll bring all things to your remembrance. Everything that I have taught you, he will bring back to your remembrance. That's why we got to study the Word of God, so we can see what Jesus was teaching about. And then we begin to live the Word. Because once you get to know the Word, you got to live the Word now. The Bible says the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. You don't have to die a second death. You can live eternally with Christ Jesus by receiving him as your Lord and Savior, obeying his instructions. So if you want that, just say this simple prayer with me that the Lord gives us. Lord Jesus, I acknowledge my sin before you, and my sins ever before me. I need you, Jesus. So today I'm denouncing Satan and all of his agents and this world system. I come to you with great expectation, knowing that you are the only one that have the right, the power, and the authority to save my soul from hell. So today I'm inviting you to come into my heart. Take your rightful position in my heart as my Lord, my Savior, and my soon coming King. Teach me how to live for you, Jesus. Lead me, and I will follow. In Jesus' name. If you say that simple prayer and you believe in your heart what you said with your mouth, you have just received the gift of salvation. But I say to you, there's much more than that, because people tell once you say the prayer, you're saved. And it sounds good, but it's much more than just saying the prayer and being saved. You got to get the word. You got to study the word. You got to get this word in your heart. And then you got to live this word. You got to live it out. You got to make sure that you start doing what the word says. Hallelujah. It's just like I told the people yesterday, is you can have a GPS in your car and you're going somewhere that you don't know where you're going. And if you don't put the directions or the street address inside that GPS, you'll be just like I did years ago. You'll be driving around in circles, going nowhere, till you put the address in there. If you got the Bible, and I use that or not, you have a Bible or many Bibles, but you don't never open them in and study, you'll never know what God is seeing for your life. You'll never know how he wants to lead you. You got to follow that. That's your GPS. That's your basic instruction before leaving earth. So study Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, the book of Acts, and get a gospel understanding. When you ask, since you have received Jesus as your Lord and the Holy Spirit is filling you, invite the Holy Spirit to lead you, to teach you. He's a great teacher. And he'll open that scripture that you'll find yourself, wow, wow. When he shows you the page, the word come alive to you, says, do you see that? And only you and the Holy Spirit are the only two inside the room. But you'll talk like if somebody physically is standing in the room or you're sitting in the room. You say, do you see that? I did it. I do it several times. Sometimes I find myself, I got to look around and see if anybody heard me. I said, do you see that? Because the word just came alive. And once you get that, call up a pastor, preacher, teacher, and say that. To let them know you have received the gift of salvation. You're studying the word of God, but you want to go deeper. You want to go deeper in this salvation. It's deeper is going down the water. Yeah, you just let the world know. Invite your friends, your family, your co-workers, even your enemies, because you want to have witnesses of the greatest time in your life, the greatest occasion in your life, where they're going to be there watching you going down the water and coming about that water. That's what you want. And when you come up out that water, you are leaving all the things that held you captive in that water. That's why you want to get into a church that's preaching and teaching the truth, the gospel, uncompromising, infallible truth of God's word. They're not compromised. They tell you just like it is. That's what you want. You want to be in a Bible believing, Bible teaching, preaching place. And once you get in there, get yourself involved in ministry. Don't go in there and just every day you want to go. You know, people say, "Well, I can't wait. I can't wait till I get back to church next Sunday. I can't wait to see what the pastor going to preach next week." Last week was so good. Use what you get. Tell somebody. Activate what you get, okay? People get it, and they write down, they take notes, and then they go home, they put the notes on the coffee table, the nightstand. Put the Bible on the coffee table the next time and never open it until the next Sunday or Wednesday night or Tuesday night or Saturday morning, whenever they go back to the building. No, you got to use the word. The word is only as good, but only do you as much as you allow it to. And that's, you got to open it in. You got to study it. And you got to obey it. Father, we thank you and praise you for the gift of salvation. Those that we receive the gift at a later date. We ask, Father God, that you continue to pour into us, that we be able to pour into others. Father, we are remaining and hungry for more of your word. And we are asking you to bless us, O God. Allow us to hear, God. Give us spiritual ears that we hear. We hear what you are saying, O God. And as we hear, God, we would activate in our daily lives that men and women would see and say, That's the man of God. That's the woman of God. That's truly a believer in righteousness and holiness. That person is truly living the word. That's what we want. And then they'll give God the glory. Hallelujah. I was preaching yesterday. The Holy Spirit was using me in such a miraculous way. I tell you, I was soaking wet. I was soaking wet. And I didn't even have my jacket on. I took the jacket on because the fire of the Holy Ghost was in the place. And Lord have mercy. And a man walking off the street. You see, you're the pastor of this house. And I said, no. I'm the one who is taking care of the house right now. The real pastor, the pastor of this house is Pastor Vic. This is her church, you know. And she wants me to run the church for her because she's in Georgia. She lives in Georgia. And I'm in Massachusetts. So I said, I run the church for her. And, you know, because you don't want to go and do all that stuff. To preach it somewhere else. Would create a church and build a church by the Spirit of the Lord. And people would come. But I still have to give her the accolades that are due to her name. You know, she started the church from scratch. But she decided to put me there to take care of the church. And the man came in there. He even bringing the offering. He says, man, he's sitting in the back. He says, I'll be back next Sunday. He said, you look for me. I'm coming. I'll be here next Sunday. I'm going to bring somebody with me, too. I said, well, praise the Lord. He said, I like what you're seeing. I like what you're seeing. It's God, though, you know. And that's all I said. I don't push my shoulder up. I don't push my shoulders up and out like I do that or I did this. Because always if the Holy Spirit don't come, you're not going to get anything. I'll be blank. He did it to me in Africa. I went completely blank. I mean blank. I didn't know that was possible, but all of a sudden I couldn't even see nothing, couldn't hear nothing, because it was me. But once I got out of the way, the Holy Spirit showed up and began to preach. And people start crying and being touched with the Holy Spirit. So we thank you all for being here with us today. You know, I want you all to know that I appreciate each and every one of you that come on the line, even when you don't respond. I appreciate each and every one of you all. But the line is open. Anyone that want to respond, encourage the words, you can. If you are too busy or you can't, somewhere you can't respond, that's still fine too. We still appreciate you, and we ask God to bless you, keep you safe and secure. Watch over you going and coming. If no one has a word to share, we'll come back in and pray and close out. Because Minister Jones, she just jumped off. He's probably on the road. We'll come back in and close out. Father God, we thank you and praise you, God, for this day. Thank you for the word that you have given us. And we bless you, we praise you, we glorify you, we exalt you, O God. Thank you for giving us strength, giving us health, O God, for bringing us into this new day, this day that we have never seen, this day that we will never, ever see again, O God. And for that, O God, we honor you, we praise you, we bow down before you, O God, we exalt you, we magnify your name, God. We thank you for every believer and every one that came and hear this word, those that would hear the word later, O God, another time, God. Let the word be fresh to the hearing, O God, to the spirit man, those that might hear it tomorrow, tonight, to the next week, or whenever they hear it, O God. Let it be, O God, awakening to the spirit man. Father, we pray for this nation. We pray for the United States of America. We pray for the vice president, the president, Congress, senators. We pray for the police department, the fire department. We pray, O God, for the doctors, the nurses, the teachers, the children getting ready to go back into school. We lift them up right now, God. And Father, we are praying, Father God, for the nurses, O God. We thank you for the EMTs, O God. Yes, Lord, we thank you for the teachers. God, we ask that you give them a new, fresh mindset, that when they get back into the house, O God, they would do what need to be done, O God. That they will not compromise their knowledge, oh God, because of some kids are acting unseen, but they will recognize that they're called to teach, oh God, and to protect the kids while they're in their care. Oh, Father, we bless your name. We praise your name. We glorify your name. We exalt your name. Oh, Father, there's nothing, no one compares to you, Father. You are the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. You are the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end. Yes, Father God, we bless your name. We praise your name. We glorify your name. We exalt your name. Oh, God, you said if you'll be lifted up from the earth, you'll draw all men unto you. Father, we are praying for every apostle, every prophet, every evangelist, every pastor, every teacher. Lord, we are praying for them all. We ask you, oh God, to, oh God, waken the church up, waken up the apostles, waken up the prophets, wake up the prophets, oh God, the evangelists, the pastor, the teacher, wake them up, the deacons, the elders, the ushers, wake them up, oh God, wake us all up, oh God, and give us a new mindset, oh God, to exalt you, to go forth with power and authority. We lift up Apostle Stewart, Pastor Joyce Stewart, oh God, we lift them up, we lift up their ministry, and God, we ask you to continue to pour into their ministry. Oh God, bring back new people, bring new people, oh God, and bring back some of the old folks that moved to different states, God, bring them all back, oh God, bring new young people, oh God, that hungry and thirsty for righteousness, that they can be fed. Bring them to the place where they will be fed, oh God, in the ministry where God is, where the Spirit of the Lord is. The Bible said it's liberty. So bring the people, oh God. We ask you, oh God, to, oh God, move by your Spirit, oh God. Your word declared not by power, not by might, but by your Spirit, saith the Lord. And Father, we thank you for Minister Jones. He comes on, try to get on every time that he can, oh God, to share a word. But Lord, sometimes he gets so busy, he got to run off and go and do what needs to be done. We ask, oh God, for you to give him always giving traveling mercy, oh God. Always giving mercy, oh God, to make it in and make it out, oh God. Safely, oh God, while he is on the highway. We ask, oh God, that you keep his eyes, be aware of the surroundings, on the places that he goes, oh God, that, Lord, that no hurt, harm, or danger befall him. Protect his wife, oh God. We ask, oh God, to shield her. Oh God, she's a pleasant helpmate to the man of God. Oh, God, she is a woman of God. We ask you, oh God, to keep her safe, oh God. Lord God, we are in perilous times, so we ask to cover each and every one of us, oh God, that is part of this line, part of this ministry, and even those that are no longer part of this ministry, Lord, we ask you to keep them safe, oh God. Watch over their children. Watch over their grandchildren. And watch over them, oh God. We ask you to keep them safe, Lord God. Even those that choose that they will go a different way. Lord, we have nothing in our hearts. You know this, God. We don't have to tell you no, because you know my heart. We have nothing in our hearts against anyone, oh God, great or small, oh God. Father, we thank you, Lord. We thank you for blessing us with a heart of compassion, a heart of mercy, a heart of grace, long-suffering for mankind. And Lord, I ask you to add to this ministry that our pastor Vicar saw so kind to ask me to pastor the church for her. Lord, we ask, oh God, you know, it wasn't my calling. And years ago, my calling was to go from country to country, nation to nation, and preach the gospel. But Lord, I believe that this is what you want me to do now. And this is what I will do now, till you ask me to leave and go out. Somebody will take over and preach while I'm away, oh God. But while I'm here, I will be taking care of this ministry. And Father, we thank you for the power that you are releasing into that house, oh God, that people can tell that it's a different spirit that's moving, oh God. But it's your Spirit, oh God. It's your Spirit that's moving. You're the teacher, not me. And I thank you, Lord God, for teaching us and showing us the way that we should go, oh God. And we are falling, God. We are falling. We are obedient to the sound of your voice, oh God, and to the moving of your Spirit, oh God. Oh, Lord God, we ask you to bless this airwaves, oh God. Continue to bless Blog Talk Radio, oh God. Continue to let the Spirit move upon this radio station, oh God. We ask, oh God, Father God, as we leave this line, but never your presence, that you bless us in the city, bless us in the field, bless us when we come and bless us when we go, that you continue to make us the head and not the tail, that you set us above, Father, and not beneath, God, that you make us the lenders and not the borrowers, oh God. God, we able to do things that we weren't able to do before, Lord God. You will bless us, oh God. We will have more than enough finances, oh God. It's coming to us, Lord God. It's coming to us in abundance, oh God, and we are preparing ourselves to help the poor, to help the widows, to help the fatherless, the motherless, and the widows, the orphans, oh God. We just thank you, Lord. We thank you in advance, oh God. Lord, we thank you in advance for what you're doing, oh God. We thank you for keeping our bodies strong, for healing us, oh God, for healing sickness, oh God. We thank you for touching those that had cancer, oh God. Thank you for healing the woman that came into church and her arthritic pains were so bad. But Lord, we thank you for when you allow us to pray for her, Lord God, you touched her. We were just the instrument, the mouthpiece that you allowed to pray for her and call her name before you. And when we call her name, oh God, you heal her of the diabetes. She came back to church yesterday and she was walking like she was a young woman. With no pain. She didn't have any pain at all. So, Father, we thank you, Lord God, because you are a great God. You are awesome God. You are a mighty God. And you do what no man can do. Oh, Father, we just thank you, Lord God. We thank you, Lord, because without you, we are nothing, oh God. But as you show up in our life, God, we become what you call us to be, oh God. Oh, Lord, we just thank you right now. We praise you, oh, Father. We honor you now. We honor you, Jesus. Thank you for loving us, God. Thank you for keeping us, God. Thank you for showing us the way, Lord God. Thank you for letting us know the truth, oh God. Thank you for letting us know, Father God. Oh, Father, for letting us know what's right and what's wrong, oh God, and what you expect of us, oh God. Lord, we are not trying to be more than anybody else. We only want to be what you want us to be, what you call us to be, Lord God, that we will glorify your name, that through the light that you allow to shine through us, men will see, and they'll begin to glorify the Father. Oh, Father, we thank you right now. We praise you right now. We glorify you right now. Have your way in this house, oh God. Oh, God, touch my family. Touch my sister back in Barbados, Lord. If the Lord allow us, we'll head back there in December. We'll head back home for December. Lord, if you just help us, Lord, we'll head back there and make sure that everything is going right with the house, oh God, that everything, the work is done the way we want it done for her to make her enjoy her old age, oh God. We just thank you right now, Father. We bless you and praise you, oh God. God, heal everyone under the sound of my voice that is dealing with any type of sickness in their body, that's dealing with any kind of sickness in their body. We ask you to heal them now. Heal right now, Lord Jesus. We ask you to heal, oh God. Arise up right now, oh God, and let the enemy be scattered. Rise up with your power. Rise up with your glory. Rise up with your authority right now. And let the enemy be scattered. Heal your people, God. Heal your people. Heal your people right now, Lord. Oh, God, let sickness flee. Let sickness flee. Sickness has no power. Sickness has no authority right now. Let it flee right now, Jesus. Let sickness flee right now. Cause it to run. Cause sickness to run right now. In the name of Jesus, we bless you and we praise you, oh, God, because you are worthy. You are worthy, Jesus. And now, Lord, as we leave this line but not your presence, we pray that the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God, that the sweet communion of the Holy Spirit will continue to rest and abide upon us. And surely, goodness and mercy shall follow us all the days of our lives. And we will dwell here in the house of the Lord forever and ever. Amen and amen and amen. Always remember to give God glory. Always remember to give him praise. Always remember to thank him for your day. Hallelujah. Preacher said last night, he said, when you wake up in the morning, you ought to start your day off with prayer. You ought to start your day off with giving him glory. I got to get on the prayer line with our prophetess Kirstie in the morning. I got to get on there early in the morning. I was too tired, but I got to get on there in the morning, some morning this week and pray with them. We just thank God for you all. Have a blessed day, a safe day. I tell you, I'm looking forward to being back here tomorrow morning, if the Lord say the same, with another word from the Lord for us, his people. Have a blessed, safe day. And whatever you do today, make sure that it gives God glory. That's your life. Your life, because your life is your ministry, not the church. Your life is your ministry. So make sure that your life give him glory. That what you are doing, where you are living, adios. Where you're going, what you're doing, is giving him glory. Make sure that that's what your life ought to be about. We're not living to please nobody. We're living to please God. If your life pleased God, guess what it would do? It would please other people. Some people are going to get mad at your life anyway. If your life is pleasing God, you got some people that they hate everything that's good. You don't able to do anything. Anything you do that's good, they hit. They got a problem with, some people got a problem with everything. Because you can please some of the people, but you can't please all the people. But you want to please God. That's what you want to do. You want to make sure that your life pleases God. And if your life is pleasing God, the folk that love God and want more God are going to be happy with your life. They're going to be in agreement with your life. So I pray that for you today, and that we'll meet tomorrow, the same place, same time, giving God glory. Have a blessed day, and be safe. Okay? Bye-bye.